Coming up today on The Dwelling Place.
Isn't that where compromise begins? When we exalt our counsel above the counsel of God, above the word of God. When we start going, well, yeah, that doesn't sound too bad. You know, I thought about that. You know, everybody's doing it. I saw those guys, they seem to be doing fine. You know, homosexuality is great. What's wrong with the church? You narrow-minded, mean-spirited people. We're doing that in our culture, in our country. That's one thing for the world to do it, but when the church starts going, what's wrong with it? We begin to compromise, to mingle with the spirit of the world, and it begins to seem like it's right when the Bible clearly says, Romans chapter 1, that it's wrong, and yet we sit there and we say, oh, no, it's got to be. Why? Because we rebelled against God by our own counsel.
Dwelling place, dwelling place.
Thanks for joining us today for The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, a ministry of Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs. Do you have priorities every day? We all do. And our priorities say a lot about where our relationship with God stands. Many people have a list of priorities that doesn't contain a single mention of God. And that's a tragedy. Today, Pastor Al brings us the final segment of his message based in Psalm 106. This psalm reminds us that worshiping God should be our number one priority in life, and that should be the case every single day. Here's Pastor Al, beginning with a look at Numbers 14, verse 4, and the disobedience of the Israelites as they left Egypt.
Then the Bible tells us that the people plotted against Moses. They complained in their tents, and they plotted against Moses, and they said, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." They were done with Moses. When it doesn't seem like God is going to come through for us, many times we resort to complaining. Complaining only earns us another lap around Mount Sinai. God is a God of order. I kind of liken him to baseball. You can't go from home to third base. He'll make you go to first, second, and third, and then home. And if you get to first and you're complaining, "Well, I don't like this. I'm just going to cross the field and go over to pitcher's mound and stand on third base." You can go do that if you want. But God's not going to bless you until you walk in obedience. Obedience, you need to go to second base. Then you need to go to third. Then you need to come home. But we can complain. Complain all you want. Just give me another lap around Mount Sinai. Another year out in the wilderness, you know. "Well, I don't like this." Okay, give me another lap. "How about some, you know, we need quail?" Give me another lap, you know. "I don't like manna." Give me another lap, you know. Until they learn, of course, all of them died in the wilderness, and then a new generation was raised up. Then they crossed over into the promised land. But, you know, complaining only earns us another lap around Mount Sinai. It is an attitude of unbelief. That's why. An attitude of unbelief. And it robs us of our praise, because apart from faith, which is required in order for us to please God, we cannot truly praise him with a heart full of complaining. So we need to repent of complaining. Complaining can rob you, your heart, and rob the Lord of our true worship. Here's the fifth thing that can rob you of worship that he mentions here. Again, going through the history of Egypt, he moves on here in verses 28 of Israel. He moves on to verse 28 here to 31, and he points out that sensuality, sexual sin, can rob us of our of true worship. "They joined themselves also to Baal of Peor and ate sacrifices made to the dead. Thus they provoked him," they provoked God "to anger with their deeds, and the plague broke out among them. Then Phinehas stood up and intervened, and the plague was stopped. And that was accounted to him for righteousness to all generations forevermore." So here they are after 40 years in the wilderness, and many of that generation died. They come to a place called Acacia Grove, and at Acacia Grove, they entered into the worship of Baal of Peor, and committed sin against the Lord, according to Numbers chapter 25. There, Israel fell into sexual sin. They fell into sexual sin with the women of Moab. Sexual sin always robs us of our praise. So the women came down, the men saw the women were beautiful, they began to lust after them, and they entered into sexual sin with these women. And the only way to deal with this sexual sin in our lives like that, that can rob us of true praise, because, you know, you come to church and you've got that on your mind, man, I've committed that sin, and if you haven't repented, you're standing there and you want to kind of enter into worship and you long to, but just something's like a weight around you. You just can't raise your hands. You can't enter in. You feel like you've been invited to this banquet with this huge spread. You know, I don't know if you've ever been out to a buffet where there's food everywhere, but you can eat nothing. And you're sitting there, you're starving, you know you need the Lord, but because of that sin on your mind, you can't really truly enter in and worship. The remedy is to repent. It's to turn from that sexual sin. The remedy is to deal with it as Phinehas, who was the son of Eleazar, who was one of the sons of Aaron, the high priest of Israel. Phinehas, a preacher's son, amen, rose up and with indignation in his heart, he put an end to the plague that was brought upon the children of Israel because of their sexual sin with the women of Moab. And the Bible says that in Numbers chapter 25, that one of the Israelites came in with a Moabite woman, and they were going to go in and do their thing, I guess, because the Bible says they went into a tent alone, and he was just bold about it, like, yeah, I got my woman. Yeah, what about it? You know? And went into a tent, and Phinehas became indignant, rose up and took a spear or a lance, and the Bible says he drove it through the man and through the woman as to indicate they were copulating or getting a thing on or whatever, and he drove the stake through the man, and it went through the woman as well, killed both of them instantly, and the plague ended. He's like, oh, that's cold-blooded. But that's what it took to end the plague. And the lesson for us is this, is that when we have sexual sin in our life, don't make excuses for it. Don't take it to therapy to figure out how you can live with it. Kill it. Kill it. Through radical amputation, by cutting it off. Take her number out of your book. You know, I've remember this scene in the movie Fireproof. Remember that scene where the guy, you know, he was struggling with pornography. He got so mad, he just, you know, got the baseball bat out and just beat that computer down. Busted it all up. Neighbor was looking at him like he was crazy. But he was sick of it. And that's what you call radical amputation. So, maybe I need to sell my computer. Maybe I don't need a computer. You know, maybe I need to bust it up. Or if it's not a computer, maybe it's a place that I go by. You need to stop going by that place. Or maybe it's someone that you've got their number and you're always calling. And it's a temptation. You know, you want to be set free from that sexual sin. You know, I don't know. We just kind of hook up from time to time. And I know it's wrong, but Pastor, you know, and sometimes I get lonely. Hey, then you need to lose that number. You know, get rid of that number. It's radical amputation. You say, well, man, that's a little extreme. I'll tell you what extreme is. Jesus said, if your right eye offends you, pluck it out. If your right hand offends you, cut it off. Now, there's some people who are under pastors who are probably not teaching what that means have gone out and literally tried to cut their hands off or whatever. You know, that's not what he's saying. He's talking about radical amputation when it comes to something like sexual sin that is robbing you, God, of the praise you owe him. Robbing you of the intimacy and the relationship you want to have with the Lord, then you need to approach it with radical amputation. You can't say, well, let me take it to therapy. I think there's just too much of that. I think whatever happened to the conviction of the Holy Ghost? Now, I'm not standing here tonight saying, oh, I never, you know, I used to hear preachers act like this when I was like, you know, 18, 19 years old, burning with lust, sitting there listening, and these preachers going, I haven't lusted since 1936, you know, and I'm thinking, oh, man, I don't want to talk to that guy. I'm here buried, implode, burst into flames, and it's, you know, and I'm not going to go talk to this old, you know, shriveled up joker. He don't know what's going on. We all struggle from time to time. Maybe you had a pastor who told you that he never struggled. Well, you know, God bless him. This pastor's going to tell you he struggles. I'm going to be straight up about it. But I know the cure is radical amputation, to not play with it, to not make it a pet, to not make excuses for it. You know, I'm under stress. No, a lot of people turn to sexual immorality because of stress. No, I need radical amputation. I need to be a Phinehas. Lord, give me the spirit of Phinehas. Cut this thing off, Lord. Just destroy it. Give me a lance. Give me the word of God, the sword of the spirit, and let me apply it. Hold fast to your word. You see, genuine praise can only be offered through genuine repentance. Didn't say that, oh, you've arrived. Didn't say that once you arrive, then you can praise God. Once you've never struggled with something, you can praise God. No, it's genuine repentance, saying, God, I'm sorry for this. Forgive me, Father. At the moment you ask him to forgive you, he forgives you. And you can enter into praise. That's 1 John 1:9. Isn't that what it says? Confess your sin. He was faithful just to forgive you your sin and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Didn't he say that? So don't let the devil put that guilt trip on you. If you've confessed that and you've asked God for forgiveness, you're forgiven. So that you can offer him unadulterated praise. But if you think you can hide it and put it in therapy and sneak around and creep and all this kind of stuff, you cannot. You can come in and hold your hands up and do Holy Ghost dance and everything else. But it's not praise. Genuine praise requires genuine repentance. And that's what radical amputation is all about. Here's the sixth thing that we need to be careful, that we do not allow it to rob us of our praise. Verses 32 and 33 says, they angered him also at the waters of strife, so that it went ill, with Moses on account of them, because they rebelled against his spirit, so that he spoke rashly with his lips. That's where Moses got mad at the children of Israel. You know, he's about 40 years later. You know, he's had it, and God said, I want you to speak to the rock so that the water can come out and the people can have water to drink, and he hits the rock, beats the rock. He doesn't speak to the rock. He disobeys God, beats the rock, and says, here's your stinking water. And the Bible says here they caused him to sin so that it went ill with Moses on account of them. Now, that'd be a great scripture to hold on to when we start blaming other people for us messing up. Did God say, yeah, Mo, I know what you're talking about, man. Those people, whoo, you know, a few years ago, I wanted to toast them. I told you, let me toast them, you know. But I had mercy on them, you know, because you stood in the gap for them. He didn't say that. He said, no, Moses, you're accountable for your actions.
Pastor Al will have the second half of our study in Psalm 106 in just a moment. At The Dwelling Place, we count on the support of our listeners, both financially and through prayer. In these trying economic times, we know it's difficult for many to make ends meet right now. But if you'd like to make a one-time donation or to become a monthly supporter, just go to cwccs.org or text the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. You can also send a donation through the mail to The Dwelling Place, 501 Castle Road, Colorado Springs, Colorado, 80904. And on behalf of Pastor Al, thanks for your support, both through donation and through prayer. Now here's Pastor Al once again with the conclusion of today's study.
Accountability. It's not your wife, it's not your husband to blame, it's not that old church I go to, and that pastor was a better pastor, or the job I have, or anything else. It's your sin. David said, Lord, against you and you only have I sinned. And he was accountable for that sin. And as a result, you know the story. After 40 years of faithful service, that one incident, Moses could not go into the promised land. He saw it from a distance. But oh, praise God, he went to a better land. But it cost him. There was consequences. And so it says here that there were consequences. But what is the sin here that they've committed that would rob us of our praise? And that is by they quenched the spirit of God. The Bible says that because they rebelled, verse 33, against his spirit. That is God's spirit. Not the spirit of Moses, but God's spirit. They were in contention against God. The waters of strife are the waters of Meribah. That's what he's speaking about here. And this is where, of course, Moses struck the rock. And, of course, it's found in Numbers. The story is in Numbers chapter 20. In Numbers chapter 20, verse 13, the Bible says, this was the water of Meribah because the children of Israel contended with the Lord. They were in contention against God. They were grieving the Spirit of God. And he was hallowed among them. In other words, the water did come out, and he was hallowed among them. And they did worship the Lord and honor the Lord after the water came and all, but But they were in contention against God. They were quenching the Spirit. When we contend against the Spirit of God, it robs us of our worship, because we cannot worship apart from being in concert with the Spirit of God. We have to be in concert with the Spirit of God, or we cannot truly praise Him. John chapter 4, verse 23, the Bible says, Jesus said to the woman at the well, "But the hour is coming and now is when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to praise Him, to worship Him." You must worship in concert with the Spirit of God. Okay, here's the last one. The last thing that can rob us of our praise, and that is compromise. Compromise. Verses 34 to 43. They did not, now this is when they're in Canaan. They're in the promised land now. They did not destroy the peoples concerning whom the Lord had commanded them. God said all these people were to be destroyed. They did not destroy the peoples. They compromised. But they mingled with the Gentiles and learned their works. They served their idols, which became a snare to them. They even sacrificed, listen, they even sacrificed their sons and daughters to demons. That's just how far compromise will take you. "Well, I never do that." Oh, really? We don't know how far we're able to go. We're able to go further than we think. And then he says, and they shed innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan. And the land was polluted with blood. Thus they were defiled by their own works and played the harlot by their own deeds. God said they acted like unfaithful prostitutes. They played the harlot. And therefore the wrath of the Lord was kindled against his people, so that he abhorred his own inheritance and gave them into the hands of the Gentiles, and those who hated them ruled over them. And that is really the consequence of compromise, is that the enemy rules over us. And the Lord abhorred his own inheritance. Doesn't mean that God was ready to, or wanted to cast off his people completely, because he never has, he never will, because of his great mercy. But you as parents know this, especially if you have teenagers and older kids, that sometimes you can abhor what they have become, but you still love them and you still pray for them. Their enemies also oppressed them, and they were brought into subjection under their land. Many times he delivered them. God would deliver them. God still would have mercy. You read through the history of the Old Testament, you know, and the history of the children of Israel, and you see how God again and again, time after time, delivered them through the judges. He just sent them judges, Samson and others, who helped deliver them from their enemies and all that. And still they rebelled in their counsel and were brought low for their iniquity. And we see there that compromise, the compromise of the children of Israel, mingling with the Gentiles and learning their ways and offering their sons and daughters to demons and all of that. But notice that their compromise was fueled by their own counsel. It says in verse 43, "But they rebelled in their counsel." In their own counsel, they began to compromise against God. And isn't that where compromise begins? When we exalt our counsel above the counsel of God, above the word of God. When we start going, "Well, yeah, that doesn't sound too bad. You know, I thought about that. You know, everybody's doing it. I saw those guys. They seem to be doing fine. You know, homosexuality is great. What's wrong with the church? You narrow-minded, mean-spirited people. Ultra-right-wing jerks. What's wrong with being a transsexual? What's wrong? You know, in fact, there's a school in Chicago where they're thinking about opening up this school that caters primarily to homosexuals and transsexual kids because they have such a hard time in public school. Let's make a school for that. And they're saying, "Oh, we're not really just focusing on them, but we're giving, kind of making a culture and an area where they can feel comfortable about their sexuality." We're doing that in our culture, in our country. That's one thing for the world to do it, but when the church starts going, "What's wrong with it?" We begin to compromise, to mingle with the spirit of the world. And it begins to seem like it's right when the Bible clearly says, Romans chapter 1, that it's wrong. And yet we sit there and we say, "Oh no, it's got to be." Why? Because we rebelled against God by our own counsel. We have to be careful. It will rob us of praise. You know why? because we cannot offer God high praise while living with low moral standards. You can't offer high praise with low standards. The standard is His word. You can't offer Him praise according to your counsel. I think I'll praise God because I got a raise. Praise you, Lord. That's my counsel. But I'm going to praise God. I lost my job. Praise you. You're worthy. That's His counsel. We praise Him according to His counsel, not our own. Compromise will rob us of high, life-changing or life-transforming praise. In verses 44 to 48, the psalmist begins with mercy and he ends with mercy. Verse 44, and praise God, amen. Aren't you glad the bookends of your life is mercy? It begins with mercy, ends with mercy. He says in verse 44, nevertheless, out of all of these things that Israel had done, all the things you and I have done, nevertheless, He regarded their affliction when He heard their cry. That's mercy. He ends with this prayer, Lord, gather us from the Gentiles that we might praise You, that we might live triumphantly. How do we live triumphantly? Through His praise, that we may triumph. He says, verse 47, the latter part, to triumph in Your praise. Amen. Praise is something that we need within the church. We need to praise the Lord. Continue. Praise is not something we do before the message. It's not, you know, 20 minutes. It's not, you know, the loud music, something we do just on Sunday. Praise is a lifestyle. God wants us to be a people who praise Him. In our staff meeting this past week, we discussed two phrases. One was carpe diem, and many of you know what that is. It means seize the day. But the author of this book went on to say that what we ought to be living by as Christians is carpe vita. Carpe vita means seize the life. Praise enables us to seize the life. There was a man by the name of Leo Buscaglia, and he said, they asked him, how do you want to be remembered when your life is over, Leo? He says, I want to be remembered as somebody who lived life fully with passion. I've been asked to write my epitaph, and I have always thought that the perfect one for my tombstone would be, here lies Leo, who died living. Praise is the way in which we seize life, and the life is Jesus Christ. Praise in our life is a way in which we can die living. Jesus said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and the life. Without praise, the Christian life is lifeless and dull. Praise enables us to glorify our God in times of abundance or lack. It enables us to leave a lasting legacy for Christ's sake. It enables us to die living. Forever praising the Lord. Forever. Carpe vita.
This has been The Dwelling Place with pastor and author Al Pittman. You can listen to today's message again, watch the video version, or download an MP3 with a simple click. Just go to cwccs.org and click the Messages tab at the top of the page. And while you're checking out our website, be sure to download the Calvary Worship Center app for your device and take Pastor Al with you wherever you go. The Dwelling Place is also available at oneplace.com. And I'd also like to ask you to take a few moments today to send Pastor Al an email and let him know that you enjoy The Dwelling Place on this station. That would be a great encouragement to Pastor Al and all of us here at The Dwelling Place. You can also share a prayer request with us, and we'll count it a privilege to pray for you. Just send an email to amen@cwccs.org. Let me also remind you in closing that The Dwelling Place is a listener-supported outreach. We count on your support to keep this radio ministry going and growing. If you'd like to join our support team with a one-time gift or on a regular monthly basis, you can do so at our website, cwccs.org, or by texting the word GIVE to 719-354-2778. If you live in the Colorado Springs area and are looking for a church home, or you'll be visiting the area in the future, we invite you to come join us for worship here at Calvary Worship Center. You'll find directions and more information at cwccs.org. And no matter where you are, you can watch our services via live streaming right there at our website. Have a wonderful day in the Lord, and join us next time on The Dwelling Place with Pastor Al Pittman, presented by Calvary Worship Center in Colorado Springs, Colorado.